Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com. The following is a message from the Heritage Meat Shop.
Are you tired of just hearing buzzwords? Do you want to actually take part in the food revolution? Then come on down to the Heritage Meat Shop, located in New York's historic Essex Street Market, on the corner of Essex and Delancey. We have rare breed pork, beef, poultry, lamb, and goat, not to mention charcuterie that'll make you squeal. All raised right, by the right people, so you know they'll taste right. Try the meat that over 100 New York chefs ache for. Come to the Heritage Meat Shop and pick up some revolution today.
For more information, visit heritagemeatshop.com.
Okay, everybody, it's time for a game. I'll sing my song and you do just what the song says. Here we go. Rub your tummy just like this. Rub it all day long. Rub your tummy, rub it hard. While we sing our song. Rub, 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 rub.
Good morning, everybody. This is another episode of Growing Good. I am your host, Alessandra, aka DJ Mama Sandra. Today's topic and segment is about forest schools. Now, before we get into this really enlightening process that has just completely come my way, I want to credit today's entire episode to my co-producer, Melissa Mary McAllister. She has done the research that I'm going to be reading to you. She's cited all of the footnotes that I'm going to be sharing with you. And more importantly, it was this fine mommy and individual that invited me to be a part of a forest group that was created in Brooklyn through a Yahoo parenting group. So I started getting an email emails from Melissa saying, hey, like a bunch of girls are starting a forest school. We should totally join. This is our sons are about 3 weeks apart. So this is when they were, it was winter time. So they were both, maybe 14 months old. Either they were 9 months old or they were like 16 months old. I can't remember which winter. But it was winter time. And basically what the idea was that a bunch of us were going to make regular days, like one day a week, for example, where we would meet no matter what the weather was outside and kind of like scavenger and explore a different environment. So we met up at Park Slope Park, for example. I've lived in Brooklyn for 12 years. I have never ventured into this park. It's massive. It's beautiful. Not only the typical playground that you see on the street, but there's like a huge pond, there's paths, there's wildlife, there's trees. And the moms that whose children were old enough to be pushing a stroller brought their strollers. And the moms who had the smaller children I have like a hiking backpack that has just been an amazing thing in our life, because Wally's a rather big child. He's always been in the 95th percentile, so he outgrew the baby Bjorn fairly quickly. I have like a hiking backpack that he goes into, and some of the other moms carried their children, and we basically just walked around and touched leaves and carried nuts and so forth and so forth. And I started being tagged on these emails from these group of about six amazing women and mothers sharing their ideas about different places. Wally and I ended up venturing. I've kept the curriculum to myself, even if it wasn't in the group, although of course it would be amazing for you to start your own forest school, which is what we're going to be talking about at the end of this segment. How to start your own forest school or forest group in your town with your moms. I'll go through some different age ranges and ideas for appropriate for each age range at the end of the segment, because forest schools are virtually unknown in the U.S. However, in the U.K., they're all over the place, and most of the schools that Melissa had found and forwarded me their websites were in the UK. And as we read into our topic today, we will learn more about their importance in places like Scotland and just other overseas places. However, there is a pioneer school that has started a forest school in America, and it is in New York. So I'm very excited to talk about that. So let's begin with What the hell am I talking about? What is a forest school? Okay, so the history of forest school. Educational pioneers such as Froebel, Isaacs, Macmillan, and Steiner promoted the value of the natural environment for children's health, learning, and emotional well-being by being outdoors. Nature kindergartens. This is so awesome. There's forest schools and then there's nature kindergartens. Nature kindergartens originated in Europe in the early 20th century as a way of learning about the natural world. By the 1980s, this concept became an integral part of the Danish early years program. So we're talking about, you know, we send our kids to public schools and they're indoors. I grew up with 40-minute recess outside and then after school activities, sports and whatnot, which are competitive and maybe your child isn't inclined to them. I certainly wasn't. I hated the competition. I hated the bullying. I hated that kind of interaction. So I didn't participate. And I went home and watched TV. So there's a lot of that going on. So basically, nature kindergartens have become like a regular thing, in Danish, curriculum, which is awesome. In 1995, a group of students, nursery nurses, and lecturers from Bridgewater College began to apply the same principles to childcare provision back in Somerset following a visit to a Danish school. In doing so, they became the pioneers of the fire school concept in the UK. So this is just 1995. Several organizations now offer forest school training as a result. In the UK, forest school has branched out across Wales, Scotland, and in over 20 counties in England. Forest school is an inspirational process that offers individuals of any age regular opportunities to achieve, develop confidence, self-esteem, and gain skills through hands-on learning experience in a natural environment. Despite what the name suggests, you do not need a woodland or a forest. Forest school sessions can be offered anywhere there is a large open natural space, such as parks, common land, woodland, or even on a private land or landowner's land, so long as permission has been granted. And so now we're going back to what I was invited to be a part of, which anybody can start, because I watched these girls start it just through emails and swapping online links and ideas. And you know, if you have a house upstate or you even have a cousin or an aunt, you can ask them, hey, can we come up there? They were finding all sorts of ideas of like 45-minute drives, but they really did find sources here in Brooklyn. Like I said, the Brooklyn Botanical Garden, the Park Slope, so just all sorts of weird things that you know, you can find in city environments. So moving along, to be recognized by the forest education to actually have, you know, a forest school initiative, they offer forest school sessions, and there needs to be a leader trained to level 3 or equivalent guiding the sessions. And a lot of these training programs are in the UK, in case you're listening to this and thinking, hey, I should start our own forest school because it's awesome. Moving along, I'm going to go through a typical forest school routine at this specific school, Eastwood Nursery School, where I'm getting this information. So a typical forest school routine includes getting readily independently. The children are encouraged to prepare themselves for the session independently. That means that they get dressed for themselves. They bring their own gear. They bring their own backpacks, which, you know, involves a lot of like parents, cooperation at home, which is so great because then you can feel like you're part of your child's school if you're sending them to one of these forest schools. Walking to forest school, they encourage walking to school, providing them opportunities to practice road safety, walking across pedestrian or zebra crossings, and discussing objects of interest. They do a lot of walking along trails to encourage children to notice changes with the weather and the season, initiating exploration used previously, anticipating landmarks that they've learned through the trail walk, and to learn and use new vocabulary like holy, bark, geese, roots, identifying the leaves, identifying the trees. This is all at a very young age. This starts at 2. This particular school has 5 areas along their trails, and I'm looking at some of their challenges. They have like a little challenge chart. These are some of the things that the children tackle when they go to a forest school. And again, this is something that you can you know, start to implement in your own routine. You don't have to enroll in one of these schools. Okay, so some of their challenges, these are so far out. Make a den or shelter outside. So they need to figure out a way to shelter themselves, like if a storm was coming or if bad weather was coming, and you actually build the shelter. Exploring sound. They do a mini beast hunt, meaning how many squirrels can you find, how many woodpeckers, etc., things that you can find anywhere. They do a texture hunt. I'm assuming in my imagination that that's when you give a child a basket or a pouch, a bag, and they go around the backyard or any open environment, even McCarran Park, and find different natural textures, you know, a broken piece of bark, a rough rock, a smooth rock. They do bird watching. So much fun. They create and find animal homes. They do leaf bark rubbings. They record bird calls. This is so cool. So if you have like a little handheld tape recorder, you can go and record nature calls and play them inside and identify them. This is very cool. They build their own rope swings. They have a make a hat day to protect themselves from the sun or protect themselves from the snow. They practice camouflage, how to camouflage yourself. They do animal prints. What animal prints can you find on the ground or on a tree's animal markings? They do painting with natural pigments. They make kites. They practice light and shadow. So just having the children figure out where the light is and where the shadow is. That sounds like such a fun game. They do reflections, finding natural reflections. I'm assuming in ponds or rivers. They do natural collaging. So this is, again, where you would just find a bunch of material and then sit down at a table outside in the sunlight or under a shade and do collaging out of nature. They do make a walking stick. Wally and I have actually been doing this on our own recently because we, you know, he's used to picking up small sticks to throw for our dog. But now he's gotten so older, he's picking up these huge, massive sticks. And I don't want him to accidentally hit our dog or throw it for our dog. So I've taught him about walking sticks. He loves it. He thinks it's so funny. And I get a mommy one and a baby one. They do hide and seek safety games, obviously out in the outdoors. And for the older kids, they get into lighting a fire and cooking over the fire. Observational drawing with the charcoal once the fire is done. They make a story stick. So this is ancient, awesome Native American stuff. They make feely bags where they put different things in bags and then switch with the children and feel from the outside bag or put their hands inside without looking and you have to guess what it is that you're feeling. And they do mud pies. As we go on, I'm going to let you know that mud is a huge thing with the forest schools. They teach you just to not be afraid of mud. Mud play, mud every day. they do wildflower hunts. They make maps. This is so interesting. So it teaches a child about direction, northeast, west, and south. They have the children make their own, you know, fantasy maps. They practice tying knots, using a compass, again, for the older children, and pond dipping. So this is some very amazing stuff that entails in a forest school. And there is a handful of those activities that I can think of to do myself right now in our very own park if you get a bunch of mommies and kids together. And it's just amazing. And I hope that this broadcast of Growing Good Today will inspire you to start your very own forest school. When we come back after the song break, I'm going to get into some articles from the New York Times and some actual statistics from teachers about the importance to implement this. This is my old band that we're playing today. It's Tomorrow's Friend, and it's a song that we wrote called The Moon and the Stars. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. That was Tomorrow's Friend with the Moon and the Stars. This is Alessandra, and we're going to jump right back in. We're talking about forest schools. They are virtually unknown in the U.S., but there is a school in Saratoga Springs that has adopted this theory. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that. But we were also talking about how you can start your very own forest school. So why forest school? Forest school sessions are incredibly empowering for children. They also facilitate them to make choices for now, for the future, and to develop a personal morality towards nature. Outdoor learning has a positive impact on children's well-being and development. Consequently, it is vital that early year settings maximize children's opportunities to be outdoors. For some, it may be their only opportunity to play freely and safely outside. Places that offer forest school programs report the positive impact has been on the well-being of the child, learning, development, and life experiences of children, the staff, and the families included. It's just an amazing love fest. Forest schools are most successful when participants visit the same natural area on a regular basis so that the children can, you know, become pioneers of that natural place. Successful provisions also need responsive and reflective adults who understand the potential and importance of outdoor interactions with nature. Through play and personal contact, children learn about their natural environment, sustainability, risk-taking, cooperation, things like the buddy system, safety, and using initiative to solve problems. They learn boundaries of behavior, both physical and social. They grow in emotional resilience, confidence, self-esteem, and motivation. I mean, all of these things are such an amazing, you know, reason why all of y'all should get to know forest school. We should start our own forest schools. There is one mommy group on Yahoo, which we will get to, in the city, in Central Park. There's a teacher who has started her own forest group. So we're going to get into that. So now I'm going to be citing from a school called... from a newspaper called The Saratogian, which literally is the only school that I could find in the U.S., and not me. This was all orchestrated by my friend, mother, companion, Melissa Mary McAllister, and I owe all of this knowledge to her, and I love being enlightened by others. It is called The New Frontier, Waldorf School of Saratoga Springs Forest Kindergartens, Inspiring Other Outdoor Programs. They have adapted something called Nature Kindergartens, which is follows the same guidelines of forest schools. It's just, you know, really just for the little babies, for the kindergartners. Saratoga Springs, an on-again, off-again drizzle made for a raw mid-March day, but the children of the Waldorf School's forest kindergarten didn't seem to mind. They were bundled up in their everyday school attire, winter coats, hats, mittens, and waterproof pants, most of which were dirty from all the tree climbing, hiking, and woodworking. Now, this is Lucianne McCarty reporting. A Waldorf forest kindergarten class has many of the same features as a typical kindergarten class: singing, nursery rhymes, light lessons, snack time, and playing, but with one major difference: no classroom. Barring major inclement weather, the children spend their entire school day outdoors. So along with my research, I found that in any forest school, the children spend at least 80% of the day outside, and this is in any weather. It doesn't matter if it's raining, snowing. That's why they build these shelters and blah, blah. So, you know, that's really extreme. And I can see why, you know, a place like the U.S. would be like, oh, you know, lawsuits and et cetera, et cetera. You know, but it's there. The research is there. These children are getting getting the best of the best and what they need in these early years of foundation. Going along with her report, one teacher tended to a campfire that kept many of the children warm. A shout from a small group of students alerted her to a boy stuck up in the tree. Forest kindergarten is not the only school of its kind. In fact, the idea is spreading to some unlikely places. It's really echoed in my own childhood, says Sean Atkins. And this is the New York City resident who noted she did not grow up a city girl, but now is a city woman. Behind her childhood home were woods and creeps. They just wandered, she says nostalgically. Living in Queens, Atkins said she did not want to deny her own daughter those experiences. So she brought her to the closest thing New York City has to wilderness, Central Park. And now since September, Atkins has been operating a forest kindergarten Kindergarten-esque school she calls the Outdoor Nursery in Central Park, based on the Waldorf School's model, which is based on the Forest School International model. That means long walks through the 843 acres of the park, off the beaten path as much as we can, she said. She puts on puppet shows for the children, allows free plays and hosts, circle time in which the children join together and sing and listen to nursery rhymes. Last week, when this was written, which was about a year ago, Atkins used her spring break for an apprenticeship at the Forest Kindergarten, making her a legit forest school teacher. It's very subtly structured, she says of the class, adding that she learned a lot from her observation of her now four-year-old program on the East Cateros Road. It's a very lovely rhythm. The lessons can flow into each other like the streams. Atkins said the children in her Central Park school can identify all of the flowers in the park at this point. We've been watching the snowdrops bloom, she said. And they led that led to a story about how the snowdrop got its color and a discussion of their colors. This is an education that is very organic, the instructor said. Atkins, who has been an animator and an art teacher, said a lot of the focus of her school is on nurturing the children's imaginations. At this age, I think it's the best school you can have, she said. If you have a strong imagination, it can carry you throughout your life. And they always, of course, do the ritual traditions. After a snack of apples, raisins, and seeds, the children gather for their walk in the woods. They eventually come to a clearing, and the teachers, with the help of some students, build a fire. This is for the older children. After playing, climbing, and building houses, as some of the children do, they all gather around the fire for stories and songs. And this is if you have a private property to do so, obviously. Another article that cites the New York Times, U.S. schools realizing benefits of forest kindergarten. I found this on findingdulcinea.com, which is a site that dubs itself the librarian of the internet. Forest kindergarten bucks the trend of keeping kids indoors and emphasizes the value of environmental and play-based learning. Mud is a good thing is the title. So again, it talks a little bit about the Saratoga Springs initiative, and it talks about no matter how cold, wet, or windy the conditions, the 23 students of Saratoga Springs trek outside each morning to a 325-acre swath of the Hemlock Trail, an area of the New York State parkland. So this is a school that utilizes our public parks and reserves. Again, there is so many of these within 45 to an hour and a half driving distance, and taking a train is always super fun. Like I said, it's great for the moms too if you start a mommy group and do this yourself. They discover insects and animals and revel in the elements. Afterwards, students have well, this is at their school at the Saratoga Springs. They do have regular indoor school classes for the remainder of the 20% of the time, but it's in a empty farmhouse, which is pretty awesome. I'm going to give you some sites here on like where you can get your own forest school tools so that you can implement this to yourself in your home. Again, this is from Melissa Mary McAllister. She found a place is called muddyfaces.co.uk. And along with some obscure but very real books you can find and purchase online on Amazon.com, if you put in forest schools or nature kindergartens, there are about, I would say, half a dozen books that have been published about the topic. So you can buy these books there that outline so much more than I'm even penetrating. You can buy forest school tools at a place called muddyfaces.co.uk. They are the leading supplier of forest schools equipment and challenging outdoor play resources. All their products are used and recommended by forest school experienced practitioners. Now, I have to tell you, I looked at some of the tools and some of them were like axes and pitchforks. I mean, it was definitely for the older kids, which is important because, you know, I have a toddler now, but soon he's going to be a preteen. And, you know, that is really where a child can lose his way or her way in the public system, I feel, because of budget cuts, because of terrible diets, unfortunately, that are being offered in our nation's cafeterias, because of the lack of parent supervision, because of the ratio of teachers to children, it's like something like, I read the other day, it's something like 43-1 right now. So they, you know, the forest schools, it's a good thing that you can do for the older kids as well, if you want to set up a group for them after school. So a lot of the tools that they were selling on this are definitely not safe enough for the little ones. But there is also a list of products you can buy for forest school activities that were really cool, that, to how to make your own dream catcher and the feeling pouches we were talking about, safe, you know, fishing, fake fishing rods, etc. Another site for you to check out on your own is called mindstretchers.co.uk. Now, this is the people that started the nature kindergartens. Mind Stretchers opened the first outdoor nature kindergarten in Scotland in 2006 and 2008 with an underlining philosophy of Claire Warden as defined in her book Nature Kindergartens. These kindergartens were run under the direction and management of Claire and her associate Nikki, who have a huge amount of experience as teachers. Children from the age of 2 years spend about 80% of the day outdoors in all weathers. They have access to very naturalistic garden and to the wilder woods attached to the kindergartens, where they use tools to build dens, cook on a fire, and explore nature. Another cool thing that I found this was there's a section that says on this site, mindstretchers.co.uk, of articles of what their teachers have done outside of the program. And this amazing woman, there's like before and after pictures where she either donates her time or gets grants to do this, or donations from the teachers, from the parents themselves that want to better their inner city schools. It is amazing. Check it out. There's these before and after pictures of church backyards, if your child is going to a private school, and public school backyards, where basically she just like transformed transformed the concrete, you know, sad little playground into just like park settings that you just, you know, could never believe. Park settings that just converted into naturalistic outdoor areas. She added bridges and paths and man-made ponds and shaded areas and light areas, all on cement, you know, all on inner city property. So this is something that I want all of you parents to check out, because I don't see why we couldn't make this happen ourselves in our own schools. And I guess we're running out of time here. There's, again, as usual, just always so much. I'm just going to wrap it up with what forest kindergartens and nature forest schools and nature kindergartens aim to do. They aim to provide, and so this is good, and it's an outline for you if you are going to try to start your own forest group with some of your moms. Or dads, dad friends. So they provide a safe and stimulating environment in which children can feel happy and secure. So you want to check, how far away is the street? How far away is the traffic? Provide children with a very naturalistic environment indoors, in the garden, and in your own home. So if you're living in an apartment and you don't, you know, you want to just bring some of that nature inside, is also, you know, a tool for people living in cities. Try to access wild woods where they are, where your children are encouraged and supported to take risks and become the risk assessors. So like we were talking about, playing hide and seek, that might be alarming for a parent to do with a 2-year-old in a forest. But if you know you're in a safe area, if you know that you have a group, you know, it's actually amazing for your relationship with your child and their confidence and self-esteem. Although, you know, it would be really scary for me to play hide and seek. But like I said, this is something that, you know, it works. Encourage the emotional, social, physical, creative, and intellectual development of a child outdoors. Promote the welfare of children and encourage their independence through the use of appropriate praise and reassurance while you're outdoors. Encourage positive attitudes to self and others and develop confidence and self-esteem outdoors. Create opportunities for outdoor play, which at times are challenging both physically and mentally. And this is when the weather kicks in. Doesn't have to just be on a perfect sunny day. Dress accordingly. Make sure that you have all the proper things that your child would need if you venture out in rough weathers, and bring a second change of clothes. Encourage children to explore, appreciate, and respect their environment. So this is like catch and release type stuff. Wally's been doing this thing where he's picking up all the moss that I've been gathering on our porch. And, you know, he's so cute. He's 2. I can't explain to him if he's holding the wings too tight, but I have taught him to, you know, oh, that's so beautiful. Now fly away back home to its house in the tree. And he's like, the tree, house, bug, sleeping. So, you know, respecting the environment is big. Provide opportunities to stimulate interest and imagination in those environments. So bring some of your tools, bring an outdoor activity, have your day mapped out. But like I said, I was going to break it down by age, and I just really feel that, you know, 3 months to 1 year, just taking hikes with some moms with your baby strapped on your belly or on your back is just amazing. The fresh air, they're going to be taking that nature in. They're going to be taking those sensories in. From one to two, I encourage the same with strollers, but you can start to implement here like circle time, nature rhymes and songs in different outdoor environments. And then from 2 to 4, it's all a go, and you can do every single one of the activities that we went over in segment to one, in the first half of my segment. And then I would say, like I said, beyond that, once they start public school from 5, you know, all the way to as long as you can keep them involved, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, develop an after school outdoor regimen. Following these four school guidelines. This is Alessandra, and again, I'm just so thankful to my other moms who have brought this to my attention. Being a new mom, I learn from others, and again, I want to give producing credit for this segment, Four Schools, Nature Kindergartens, and How to Start Your Own, to Melissa Mary McAllister. Thank you very much for joining us. We're going to be going out with another nature song that I didn't know of with my band, Tomorrow's Friend. This is us live at Irving Plaza, opening for Slint, actually. And this song is called When the Wind Blows. Love and light.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.